Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, the Avengers 4 trailer has been moved back. Daredevil has been canceled. God.
Oh.
But we're getting Captain Marvel. The second trailer has come out. And sooner than that, we're getting The Runaways. The second trailer has come out. We're going to talk about both of them.
All that right after this. Today, our show is brought to you by HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com/MCUcast60 and use the promo code MCUcast60 to get $60 off your first three boxes. It's good food, and you got to eat, and you can support the podcast. We'll do a full ad read later, but now to the show. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
So, Jeff Randall, sad day.
Sad day.
Just because of, like, an actual human being dying, we don't get the Avengers 4 trailer today. Why do all the bad things happen to us?
Man, that's... We're going to get some blowback on that.
I'm clearly kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
Sad day that lost a president that comes from a time when we didn't all have to hate our presidents, or you know, be so divided. It's sad day, but because of George H.W. Bush's death, we have we're not going to get the Avengers 4 trailer until Friday.
Well, that's the newest report is that it's been pushed back to Friday. We're still not completely 100% sure because that hasn't been confirmed by anybody. But
oh, okay. I thought this was a confirmed thing.
No. It's like it's been reported by like Deadline and various other people have, I think, kind of ridden that wave.
Okay. Well, then this is a weird news story to put up top because it might not be news.
Isn't it? I thought I specified that. Anyway.
It's okay. Well, it sounds like we will be getting the Avengers 4 trailer sometime soon. I mean, it's about time.
Yeah.
I don't know how often we normally get our first teaser for a movie. We don't even have a title for this movie yet.
Yeah, we really don't. And, you know, a lot of people were saying that when the Avengers 4 trailer comes out, it's, you know, it has to come out along with the prequel comic, which is supposed to come out today. But apparently, nothing.
No prequel comic either?
Well, I'm sorry, no title announcement, no announcement of like when the trailer's going to come out. We got the prequel comic, I think. I haven't gone to pick it up.
No, I wonder if it... I mean, I'm surprised that in the prequel comic it doesn't at least say the title. But if that's the case, we would have heard by now.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. Unless no one has read the prequel comic yet. People don't read comics. Funny joke. All right. So, well, in worse news, much worse news, that is very negative. Daredevil has been canceled.
You know, honestly, I'm not surprised.
Oh, me neither. I mean, we saw them cancel Iron Fist, which we were like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Then Luke Cage, and we're like, oh, and now Daredevil is like, oh, they're just canceling them all. It's what they're doing. They're letting a season air. They're not announcing it until after because they probably contractually can't. But now we know these are the last seasons of these shows.
On Netflix.
That's correct.
Because when Daredevil was canceled, there was immediately talk of, you know, maybe this character could live on somewhere else. This character could live on in future projects for Marvel.
Right. I wonder what the rules are with them using all the same actors and creative team. Because if I were them, I would want to launch my Disney service with these shows in place.
Right.
Because I'm not subscribing till these shows exist, you know? Or until they drop their first Marvel thing. So if they're smart, they'll as soon as Disney Plus is a thing, these shows will all exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, maybe they don't want that. Maybe they don't want their servers to be hit so hard immediately. I don't know. But it sounds like they're talking about a life elsewhere. I wonder if they're going to have when they say these characters may have found a life elsewhere, are they being specific about it being these actors in these incarnations of these characters?
No, this is from Netflix. It says, while the series on Netflix has ended, the three existing seasons will remain on the service for years to come, while the Daredevil character will live on in future projects for Marvel.
Okay. I hope it's Charlie Cox's Daredevil. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
And I hope they don't water it down. I'm also saying that. It's a scary time. It's a scary time for the Defenders. It's all. I'm nervous.
There was another report from some insider on Twitter that said that this is all happening simply because it's too expensive to maintain these series. Because they're just getting too expensive and, you know, producing them is costing so much, so they're just scrapping it.
I don't believe that. I think they're doing something else with it. Because this show, Daredevil, was not that much more expensive than like a House of Cards. And they're still making that. They still made a season of that show.
I don't know.
It's got more effects, but like the kinds of sets and things they have to do for something like House of Cards, it's pretty intense. And that level of actors they have hired in that show. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I think I'm very melancholy about this lack of Daredevil. Because even if they do move it, I just hope it does. Like, I don't even want to wait on a season a little extra long. Even if it meant they were moving it to a service where they get more creative freedom and all this stuff. Like, I don't want to wait. I want a season of Daredevil, like, in a year. I don't want to have to wait for them to figure out the legalese and how to get a show launched on a new service. Like, just give me more Daredevil.
Yeah, according to CheatSheet.com, on April 30th of this year, 2018, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage all cost about $40 million per season.
$40 million per season. Okay, yeah, that is expensive. Like, I think we've discussed, like,
Shield. Well, House of Cards cost $60 million per season.
Yeah.
By the same report.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at. And I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I know that House of Cards had a cultural moment early on, but I don't know that it's getting as many viewers now as Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage. Maybe it's just because of who I am and the space I occupy in the world. But like, I don't hear anyone talking about House of Cards anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Kevin Spacey was Kevin Spacey, so everybody just fell off of that.
They made the last season without him.
Yeah,
which in itself is like can be detrimental to the show. It was for me, and I hate to say it. I tried to watch the next season, and it just didn't have as much life without Kevin Spacey. And honestly, that's not even true. The last three seasons weren't very good. It's like the first season's amazing, and then the last two or three just kind of weren't great.
Yeah,
but
that happens.
Anyway, Daredevil's canceled. We can all.
Yeah.
I'm seriously real sad about it. Real sad about it.
Yeah. When it was announced, I was just like, "Yep, I was expecting that."
Yep.
Doesn't make me any less pissed off.
Yeah.
This is just, it's really aggravating because it felt like they had a thing, you know. It felt like they had a good flow going. They had their rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is a good show. So
and all the shows.
Why would you stop?
All the shows have gotten better in their second season, with the exception of Jessica Jones. And Punisher was amazing. Like, the shows have just gotten better and better. And, yeah.
It's debatable that shows got better in their second season. There are, like, Daredevil got... I honestly feel that Daredevil got its best season in season three.
Oh, I agree.
But
I
the second half of season two was not as good as...
That's true. I guess I was saying the most recent season was best, is what I kind of was meaning. But, yeah. I kind of forgot it was its third season. But yeah, the more recent seasons seem to have been, they just seem to be getting better and better. I've really liked these shows. And Luke Cage, it could be argued. I think those two are pretty close in quality. But Jessica Jones seems to be pretty universally thought of as the worst for the second season. But Jessica Jones still has a huge following and people love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just bummed.
We've talked bummed. Ad nauseum about that. So
yeah,
we're both pretty bummed out that Daredevil is. It's not necessarily going away. It's just not being made anymore.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the show's still going to be there. We can go rewatch it.
Sure, but I don't. I got to say, if it's over, and spoilers for Daredevil, we've already covered it, but if you haven't seen it, I'm going to talk about how it ended in the next 2 minutes. So if you don't want to know, skip forward. But I actually think that if it's over, it's a great three-season arc that ends really well.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that.
There's not a lot of loose threads. I can't really, off the top of my head, I can't think of any. He gives that speech at the end where he talks about being the man without fear. Like, it seems almost like a Daredevil origin, Daredevil year one kind of three-season arc. And I think it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's really, like
Daredevil year one and a half.
Yeah.
I mean, you also have to include the Defenders because, sure. You know, so, season three came, you know, so heavily from the Defenders.
Right. So, like, three and a half season arc. And yeah, I think it's a really good story told from beginning to end. So if that's all we ever get, it's not the worst thing that could have happened. I like that they got an ending. If they ended on a cliffhanger and then we never heard back from it, I'd be really mad at Marvel right now.
Yeah.
Of course, Jessica Jones kind of did. And so did Luke Cage, and so did Iron Fist. Like, that's why... So, Daredevil had a chance to end well.
Yeah, at least it felt like it had been pretty well capped. You know, yeah. There's that one loose thread of... he's going to be Bullseye.
Right, that's true.
He's going to be Bullseye.
That's true.
And, you know, he's one of Daredevil's biggest enemies, so, like, that's a huge fight that we need to see. But I don't think it's a big enough loose thread to be like... You know, really like torn up over in a huge way.
Yeah, I agree. I think that if it ended now, I don't want to see it end. I want it to come back, but at least I got a full story out of it. But every other show ended on a cliffhanger, and then yeah. And I just really
like I'm how mad. The hell are you going to end Luke Cage with him standing over the Harlem's Paradise like that?
Yeah, that's a
looking
weird,
like the bad guy.
Weird way to end. And how are you going to end? And again, spoiler alert for all these Defender shows. How are you going to end Jessica Jones with her best friend shooting her mother and then them not being friends anymore? Like, that's a really bad place.
Right? Like, that season was already so dark, and then you just ended on such a down note.
And Hellcat apparently has powers that we don't ever get to see. Like, I just don't think that Disney...
We are getting a third season of Jessica Jones.
Oh, that's right.
It's still in production, so we're going to get that, at least. We're going to get a second season of The Punisher.
Right.
So Punisher we're at least going to get those two.
Ended at season one and been fine, but I'm glad they're making a season two. Just from a talking about... cliffhanger perspective.
They're going to end it on a weird cliffhanger. He's going to be like Frankencastle or something, and then like they're going to be like, "Oh, it's canceled. You know, hope you liked it." And we're going to be like, "No,
we did not. We did not like it." all right. Well, let's go to happier things.
Yeah, we got new stuff coming out.
Yeah, let's talk about Runaways first. How about that?
Runaways first. Okay.
We got
the
Runaways
thing that's coming out the next.
Trailer number two.
Trailer number two, man. This trailer came out last Thursday, actually, and we have not gotten a chance to talk about it. This was right like a week after Thanksgiving, because, you know, that's when it's great to release things, right?
Yeah, we get to do all the talking about it.
We're doing so much. Anyway, so they released a 2 minute trailer. Well, minute 58, but still, 2 minute trailer. And if I recall correctly, everything is coming out on the same day. Holy crap, Matt, that's coming out in 2 weeks.
Wow. Okay, sweet. Well, that'll be fun. I'm excited about Runaways. Oh. Yeah, Runaways out in 2 weeks. How many episodes?
It's going to be all 13 episodes.
Okay, 13 on Hulu. So we'll have a big project 2 weeks from now.
That's fine. It's fine. We're fine.
Oh yeah, I'm excited. I don't know. Jeff sounds a little overwhelmed. I'm excited.
Well, that's also the day that I have my next Microsoft exam scheduled.
Oh, okay.
So, I'll be taking the 70-535 Architecting Microsoft Azure Solutions.
Sounds perfect. You'll be done studying. You'll take the test, and then we'll spend 2 weeks watching.
Yeah, we'll recover
as fast as possible. Okay, so what do you think of this trailer, man?
This trailer is really, really awesome. You know, we see a lot of the kids doing their runaway thing, like they finally run away, and like it looks like there's a lot of flashbacks, but it also, you know, it seems like they're exploring a lot of things that we wanted them to explore in the first season. Like,
yeah,
everybody's exploring their powers. You know, we see Old Lace some more.
Old Lace looks great.
Old Lace looks so good.
You are not watching Runaways yet. They have a dinosaur on the show, and the dinosaur looks amazing. It looks like really good little CGI sort of character, and I think a lot of it's practical, and then every once in a while it's CGI, and it just looks great. For a TV dinosaur, it looks amazing.
Yeah, the fact that this is a TV series, and they're making a dinosaur look that great is just mind-blowing.
Yeah, it has a bit of a cartoony sort of feel to it, I think. The dinosaur does,
yeah,
with his facial expressions and stuff, but like it still looks really good, and like it looks like it's in the world.
Yeah, I mean, that's how Old Lace was, though. Old Lace was like an intelligent character.
Yeah,
so I mean, if you were to leave that out, like that's not doing a service to the comic.
Yeah, for sure.
But God, man, I don't want to like jump to the end and like just gush over the thing that excites me the most about the trailer, but like I kind of also want to jump to the end and gush about the thing that excites me most. Because I mean,
go ahead,
you know, they're finally talking about how they need to work as a team instead of just like running away together. They need to become a team. But at the end of this trailer, Nico is saying something's happening to me, and she has her own staff, and like finally gets like a costume look.
Yeah.
But her eyes are darkening and cracking the same way that the zealots in the Doctor Strange movie had their eyes cracking and darkening, as if they were, you know, as if she's drawing power from Dormammu,
mm-hmm,
and the Dark Dimension,
or somehow drawing power from the Dark Dimension. Yeah. So maybe she's dabbling in some dark stuff. I mean, she's a sorceress, so.
Yeah, that's how it was in the comics. She was a sorceress.
Yeah, so that's exciting. The youngest one, Molly, she's still my favorite character on the show. I just, I like her so much. I like her power so much.
She pulls her beanie down and it's a mask. Like,
yeah.
That's so good.
It's real good. It's real, real good. Old Lace is exciting. The jock with the blast fisty powers.
Chase yeah, Stein.
He looks great, and
he has the fistigons, like fully functional.
Yeah, his father, Mr. Stein. I just love that actor because I love Buffy. He played Spike, and he's just awesome. And I'm really excited that he's back. When last season, I think they gave him like a disease. He had cancer or something, was going to die and then didn't. And it just makes me very excited because I want him to stick around and be a part of the show.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, it was the sparkly alien guy. Julian, I think, was his character name.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken. I don't know that I'm right on that. I think Julian's the name of the actor.
I'm not sure.
Anyway. Yeah, Julian McMahon plays Jonah. That's who it is. Apparently it was Jonah's blood that saved him.
Right.
And now it looks like we're getting a lot more Jonah in the second season.
Well, yeah, for the first season we didn't know who he was, and he was like a behind-the-scenes character, and he was like in that recovery cocoon for half the season. He was just a mysterious character, but now he's been fully revealed, and so that looks exciting. I liked all the dynamics, and it's all sort of still mysterious, but we know a lot more than we knew in the first season. I'm pumped. Runaways was really, really good.
Yep. And there's a shot in there of him glowing white, holding Carolina's hand, while she's doing her like purplish, pinkish glowing.
Yeah.
And they're stepping into that giant hole.
Yeah.
And I'm really thinking that she's about to find out her origin, like that half at least of her origin.
Right. And then it cuts to one of the other runaways asking her, is there something you're not telling us? And so it sounds like she might be like working with her father a little bit, or like, I mean, and who wouldn't be? She's curious about who she is and she's trying to figure it out, and he's got the answers. So that's cool. That's exciting.
You know what's really interesting is when I'm just looking at this right now. I got the trailer up. It was Alex that asked her, is there something that you're not telling us? And there is a pretty clear QR code on the screen behind him. I wonder if that QR code goes anywhere.
I don't know. Check it out.
I'm going to check it out right this second, actually.
Cool.
Oh, it goes to somewhere.
Where does it go?
Oh, shit. It links to... Okay, that QR code links to a Twitter status from Marvel's Runaways, and it says, connecting, transmission received, message, it's not safe to talk yet, but we need your help again. We'll be back soon. - the Runaways, connection lost.
That's fun. That's super fun.
That's so great.
Yay for random things in the backgrounds of trailers. It's awesome.
It's so exciting.
So yeah, this show, it's great. We should, everybody, if you like Marvel, if you're looking for a little taste, because we got a while till Captain Marvel.
And we got until March.
S.H.I.E.L.D. starts after Avengers, so man, we got a long way to go. Got a long way to go, and a short time to get there. Oh, that's not true. We same amount of time to get there. Okay, let's talk Captain Marvel. How about it? Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Matt.
You want to eat some good food tonight?
I always want to eat good food, Matt. What kind of question is that?
Well, I got a box over here with your name on it. You want to drive up to Alabama and, like, join me?
Heck yeah. I'll see you in 9 hours.
We can HelloFresh and chill.
Oh, man. I'm going to say that now.
Doesn't... Yeah, man. Use that on your wife.
Hello, I get Fresh to use that. hey, baby. You want a HelloFresh and chill?
You guys can do that, too. You can be right
there. Just as cool as us.
In your own home. You don't have to leave the house. You can cook your lady or gentleman a special meal, and then you're home. And you know what happens at home? You know what happens at home.
Chillin' happens at home.
Chillin'. You get to chill. That's right. HelloFresh and chill. HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. Each box is made up of fresh, responsibly obtained ingredients from carefully selected farms and high-rated trusted sources. We have tried HelloFresh. It was awesome. We've had it a bunch of times now, and it's great. You should absolutely go get it. Every meal that I had with them was amazing. You really, really just can't go wrong with HelloFresh. Yeah. They have the Global Eats option, which is great. It brings authentic international dishes and flavors to your home cooking for exciting new meals. I love new exciting things. My girlfriend loves when I cook new exciting things instead of the same frozen dinners that I eat here. Too often.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that chicken tenders and nothing else is a bad thing?
She seems to think so.
That's weird.
She likes like spices, and then with Global Eats, you can get that. Spices.
Yeah, that's another thing that's really cool about HelloFresh is that they're not planning for you to have a whole bunch of staples in your cabinet. They're like, you gotta have salt, you gotta have butter, and that's about it. And then...
Yeah, they include all the little spices.
All the little spice packs, everything that you need, fry seasoning, paprika, whatever you need for that dish, it's all in that little bag. You just pop open the bag, it's pre-measured, it's labeled, you know what goes with what, you throw it in, follow the instructions, and you're done.
That's right. You get delicious, filling meals delivered right to your door every week for less than $10 per serving and free shipping. Less than $10 per serving. That's awesome.
And for a brief time, there's the holiday box that's going on where you get to pick between a turkey for your holiday meal.
What?
And beef tenderloin, if I'm not mistaken.
What? That sounds awesome. That is rad. Well,
you don't have to do any of the holiday shopping. They'll ship you a box with it.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. So, guys, again, you get $60 off your first three boxes if you go to HelloFresh.com/MCUcast60 and use the promo code MCUcast60. That's $60 off, folks. MCUcast60, HelloFresh.com. Do it. Okay, let's talk Captain Marvel. How about it?
Okay, man.
General, we're going to go for this. This one, we saved it for last because we're going to do what we do with when these big trailers come out and kind of talk about it shot by shot and really discuss what's going on in the trailer. But first, general impressions. What do you think?
I am stoked. And honestly, I'm really pissed off that there are people on the internet that are trying to shit on this trailer.
Yeah, the whole she doesn't smile enough is dumb. but I got to say... All right, I'm excited about it. I think it looks awesome. But I will say my one negative, there's a couple of very wooden lines from her. When she says, like, at the end she says something like,
I'm not going to fight your war, I'm
going to
end it.
Yeah, I'm not going to fight your war, I'm going to end it. It sounds like she's reading the script a little bit. Like, it doesn't sound emotive to me or expressive. I think it's a little bit like... little wooden. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's going to be bad. I think it'll be great. I think the movie will be great, and I think even her acting will be great. She's a great actress, but sometimes when these really great actresses come along to do a superhero movie, they don't, like, fully invest their acting ability because they, like, you know. I'm not saying that's how this is going to be, but I... But there is a little bit of a... I'm a little worried by that delivery. Like, there's a couple lines in the trailer that I'm like, ooh, that delivery's a little stilted and wooden. But other than that, I think the trailer looks awesome. All the things in the trailer look awesome.
Okay. And I can understand your opinion, even if I don't agree with it.
Yeah, appreciate that. I think you're growing. Okay.
So no, you're wrong. It's wrong.
You want to take the thing frame by frame?
Yeah. So let's see. We got 90s Los Angeles subway. And then I think that this first scene in here in the train is strictly to counter the people from the first trailer saying, like, why'd she punch an old lady in the face?
Right.
And she punches the old lady in the face, and then the old lady fights back and does, like, flipping and kicking and, you know, obviously...
Not just the Skrull. Old lady.
Yeah, obviously a Skrull, while Nick Fury is saying, so the Skrulls are the bad guys.
Yeah, I like the description of that, because it just kind of, like... It's not just for the character in the movie, it's also for the people watching the trailer. So, yeah. The Skrulls are the bad guys? Like... What's going on in this whole Marvel thing? That's very funny.
It's like, it's for the people who are not us and who are not listening to us.
Right.
Or people like us talking.
Yeah.
It's for those guys that are just like, she just cold clocked an old lady. Like, what the hell?
That seems inappropriate.
Right? Like, that seems excessive, ma'am. Couldn't you have just, like, had a conversation with her?
What kind of superhero are you?
Right?
fighting all the old women. And then we get a shot of the voiceover leads into our wonderful Sam Jackson looking young. Looking young.
Yeah, with both his eyes.
Yeah.
And he remarks on the Kree being noble warriors, and she has to correct him. And honestly, that half beat after she says noble warrior heroes, that half beat where she just kind of gives a small smirk is what makes me fall in love with her.
Hmm.
Is that she's able to deliver that sort of just like snarky, snide, like just enough to kind of be like, of course it sounds goofy, but I mean, this is what we do. And then she smirks about it. Like she can, you know, be not serious about it. And
yeah,
I'm down. I'm all kinds of down.
I like that. I do like that. She's got a little bit of lightheartedness to her for sure.
I don't want to call it sass, cause that's not the right word.
So then we see them in some sort of humongous Kree structure walking toward a Kree ship.
Yeah, the Star Force!
Looking like she's leading a force of four other Kree, the Star Force, I assume.
Yeah, one of which, if you look on the far left, is actually Korath. It's Korath the Pursuer.
Okay, where have we seen Korath before?
Yeah, he was in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, right. That is Korath.
Jimon Hunsu is his name. He was the guy that was like Star Lord.
Yeah. And so he's not a Kree then, or he is now. He's not blue.
He wasn't blue in Guardians of the Galaxy, but he was also like heavily modified.
That's true. Yeah, I just can't see it. I can't tell in this trailer if he's supposed to be blue or not. And the fact that they're calling her a Kree in this movie is weird. It actually has got me thinking of a theory, and I don't know. There's only one thing in the trailer that makes me think the theory isn't true.
Okay.
You want to hear my theory?
Give me your theory, because I'm intrigued.
All right. This is completely based on the trailer with no information whatsoever.
Okay. This is the best base.
Everything we see in the movie where she's in that green outfit, she's actually Jude Law. It's a crazy theory, but it's based on everything we've seen so far. That's my weird theory. And here's how it would work. 1990, whatever, this happens. When all the stuff where she's talking to everybody and all the stuff where she's like fighting, the only thing is she's blue and I feel like there'd be more of a reaction. That's the only reason I don't think that theory is probably true. Like he's working with Sam Jackson and all that stuff. Like that's actually the Jude Law character. And then something happens toward the end. And then the young Captain Marvel in the 90s, like receives her, all of his memories, and then like the whole movie is like her recalling herself going through all this stuff, but it's actually Mar-Vell, and it's like a torch passing movie. And then all the stuff we see toward the last half of the trailer where she's wearing the new Captain Marvel outfit, that's actually Captain Marvel like living in her own body, not having memories from a past life.
Except that you see them together.
That's what I said. There's one shot that makes it not make sense, and that's when you see them together. And my idea for that is that's them. That's her like realize she's realized what's going on, and it's her like communicating with herself. Because no one else is in that scene, so she's like in a room by herself talking to herself. It's a theory. It's probably not right.
It's not a very strong theory.
I don't know. It's just a theory. I don't see why she's. It's and then like they give you that little conversation where the lady says, "We found you. We made you one of us." And I've had this theory for a while. I never mentioned it on the cast, but then I heard that in the trailer, and I was like, "Oh, well, I guess my theory is totally wrong." But then I was like, what if she's talking to Mar-Vell there, and she's not one of us wasn't a Kree, turning him into one of us was turning him into like one of the Star Force or whatever. It's a random idea. I don't think it's right. I'm not defending it to the hilt. I'm just saying if I called it, I'm awesome. If I didn't, you know, okay. I'm still awesome.
I like it.
Okay, so we can move on. That's my random idea for the day. That's my rampant speculation for the day.
Well, okay, so I guess the next frame is after the Marvel Studios sequence where it shows, you know, 10 years of Marvel Studios.
Yeah.
We have her crashed plane and the voiceover of "Your life began the day it nearly ended." And She's got some blue blood on her nose.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit odd for Captain Marvel, you know. And she's laying on the ground, looks like she's pulsing with energy.
I thought it looked like one of those energy nets they used in Guardians of the Galaxy. I think they use it on...
Oh, no, you mean in Thor Ragnarok?
Dude, I was thinking, don't they use something similar in like in that chase scene near the beginning of Guardians? Somebody throws, I think, like, Gamora throws it at Star-Lord and...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Knocks him down with some sort of energy net. But yeah, like, they also may have used it in Thor Ragnarok.
Rocket shouted at it.
Okay, yeah, yeah. That, I thought it looked similar to those things. So she's been taken. I love that they're going and this. So we see a cityscape a second later, and it looks also super Kirby-esque. It looks very similar to what we saw in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, well, that's obviously Hala,
right? Hala?
Hala's the Kree homeworld right. City.
That's what I figured, thing. But I didn't even know the name of it.
So we see blue fluid going into her after that, you know, with the continued voiceover from the lady. Blue fluid looking like it's going into her arm, which reminds me a lot of the Tahiti process.
Yes, it does. Which is super cool that they're making that, you know, if that's what's going on, that's sort of like canon. Or I don't know. not that it wasn't canon before, but the fact that it's tying back to like season one.
Yeah.
Of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is pretty cool.
So, okay, looking at it, I thought that I noticed something similar here. So when she's laying on the ground and she's getting, like, she's got the energy pulsing through her, you see kind of somebody's hip walking toward her?
Yeah.
That's actually one of the members of the Star Force. You can see the thing in a holster on the hip matches what you see on the Star Force a few frames earlier. When they're all five walking together.
Okay. Yeah, I see that on the hip. Does it match anyone's specific hip or no? It looks like the guy on the, at least the one that we see, we only see one of those in the shot, and that's the guy, there's a man we don't know. There's a Kree man that has two side shooters on his hip that look similar.
Yeah, to her right. But to her
right, yeah.
Yeah, to her left, though, is Minerva, who is from the comics, and it looks like it could be her hip as well, because she's got a similar shooter on the side there.
Oh, I couldn't see that yet. Maybe I didn't look at the far enough into the frame. Okay, cool.
That may be just like standard issue sidearms for the Kree military or whatever, but...
Yeah.
Still, though, it's interesting to note that, it's them that picked her up. And that's kind of what we're led to assume, with the voiceover.
Either they picked her up there, or that's from later on in the movie, and they're fighting somehow. Because it looked like she was already wearing the blue-green uniform in that shot where she's under the net. Is she not?
It looks like that's the standard pilot.
Oh, you're right. It is green, but it's like that. It's that green jumpsuit. Why does she have the blue blood then? Like that's what's.
I don't know, man.
Confusing me. Like if they found her, brought her here, and gave her blue, infused her with the blue, or maybe that shot of her with the blue blood is at a different time than when she's laying on the ground. That's possible too.
My thought is that there. You want to hear my theory?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, my theory is that Mar-Vell is actually going to end up being her father.
Yeah, I think that's what they're doing in the comics, right?
Well, in the comics,
I haven't read the whole thing.
In the comics, he shielded her, originally. No, he shielded her from a blast.
Comics. I'm talking about the new comics.
I don't know about the new comics, man. I haven't read them.
Okay, well, they're doing some sort of new run, which I'm assuming they're trying to bring in line with the movies, and they're talking about how basically she has some sort of heredity with the Kree. And I don't know if it's Mar-Vell's her father or whatever, but there's something like that's going on in the comic books right now. So...
I don't know. But my thought is that specifically because of that shot that debunks your theory.
Right.
It looks a little too familiar, between the two of them. The way that he kind of just touches her on the forehead, he says, "You're not as strong as you think." And like that whole, it looks too familiar to just be like a leader like a captain.
Maybe. You know? Yeah, yeah. Like, no, I think it does, but I would say it could easily be a mentor or even a dating relationship, or it could be all kinds of things. There's a lot of things it could be. But yes, yeah. Father is one of those things.
Father type figure is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting really off track
digging
here.
In on this one, one or two shots. Let's move on. We have some sort of shot of, it's her being blasted away from, I guess, that crashed Air Force plane that we saw earlier.
Yeah, because you can see the top fins of the airplane on the right side of the screen, and her being blasted back and in the jumpsuit. And that's the same color as the energy that was pulsing through her. So that, like, in the original comic, she was shielded by Mar-Vell from a blast, and it kind of infused her with Kree DNA.
Right.
And that's what gave her her powers.
Okay.
And it looks like something similar could be happening here, or it could be that this is happening, and that's what awakens that Kree, that underlying Kree.
Right. Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, maybe she gets knocked down and realizes she's got some Kree in her. Then we see a real badass shot of her with the mohawk, with the full-on...
Yeah, the helmet and the mohawk.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in the mohawk. Green costume, but it's helmet and mohawk.
And she's blasting out of her fists some sort of energy.
Yeah.
And then we see her hanging upside down, getting some sort of memories implanted. I'm assuming those are all of Mar-Vell's memories in support of my theory.
I think it's actually them trying to wipe her memory, kind right. of in a Tahiti-style thing.
Is that a scroll, though? I think there's a scroll there, so I think that's actually probably her. She's been captured or something, right?
Oh, that's a good point. I think it's a
scroll
point.
On the left-hand side. It looks like a scroll scientist standing over her, so maybe that's a different part of the movie than we're thinking altogether. I think they've done a lot of playing with time in this movie, in this trailer.
Well, the scrolls take your memories replace you.
Oh, if they're taking her memories, then that could be at any point in this movie, it could be a scroll her. Which sounds awesome.
Oh God!
All of the shots that they do this thing throughout the movie where they show her as a child opening her eyes, her as an adult opening her eyes, and then her as a Kree warrior opening her eyes. And then later on in the movie, it's her as a child standing up, her as a teenager standing up, her as a adult standing up, and then her as a Kree warrior standing up. And they're very defiant, like sort of standing, you know, superhero-like standing positions. And it just infuses me with excitement. I really love it.
Yeah, I love the like, this is the thing that she's done all her life. Like, this, it really just shows her as a, you know, her character as, you know, establishing it without the movie even being there. Like,
yeah,
we already know how much of a badass and how staunch she is just from this trailer.
Yeah. It reminds me of Captain America. You know, he's always been that guy who fights the bullies, you know.
I could do this all day.
That's her I could do this all day moment, you know, and it's already drawing from that for this trailer. Yep. Love it. And it shows her as a she says that she has all these memories. It shows her driving a race car, a go-kart as a child. It shows her getting in an airplane as an adult. And then
she's had a need for speed the whole time.
Yeah, she's got a need, man. A need for speed. And then it shows the beautiful, beautiful face of that young Sam Jackson.
Let's not forget, though, that in the frame before that, we get Maria Photon Rambo giving the, that gnarly 90s how's it hanging sign.
I did not know who that was. So, yeah, sure, we get her.
That is actually the mother of the hero Photon, who at one point takes on the name of Captain Marvel in the comics.
So it looks like Maria Photon Rambo is the wingman or wingwoman of Carol Danvers. That's cool.
Yep. You can be my wingman anytime. I mean, if we're talking 90s, there have to be all of the 90s references, right? We haven't gotten that many 90s references in this trailer.
No, we just got the blockbuster in the last one, which was an amazing way to open the trailer. I'm guessing it'll be a way to open the movie, maybe.
Maybe. But, I mean, it was a really good way to set it. And I honestly, in this trailer, other than Sam Jackson looking so damn young, that is amazing
work. Oh, yeah.
On making him look that young.
Yeah, it's super cool. Super cool.
Especially as much as we see of him, it's looking like he's going to be a major part of the movie. Like, there throughout most of it.
Yeah, unlike in the past, they've used this technique as like a little throwaway thing for a scene where, you know, sure, they put a lot of money and time into that scene, but that for that amazing effect, but they're not going to do it long. But this looks like they did it the entire movie. We'll see. We'll see how much of the movie he's in. He could just be like the wraparound thing where she's telling him the story of her as a Kree or whatever, and a lot more of just her as a Kree.
Yeah. And I love his line in the coming sequence where he's like, "Can you fly this thing?" And she's like, "We'll see." He's like, "No. That's a yes or no question."
That's a yes or no question. So that's pretty much the next thing. We get her flipping over a truck and then them having a cute little interaction in the plane where he's like, "Can you fly this thing?" She's like, "Maybe." That's a yes or no question.
And it's not just a plane, though. From the look of it, that's a Quinjet.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Erupting out of a mountain in what looks to be the Mojave-ish area.
Man, I'm excited that all this is going to tie into Avengers 4. Like, I'm excited about this movie, just period. But then knowing that the plan is to tie it in is just super exciting. All right, we got spaceships coming to Earth. We got Carol Danvers looking like she takes off her helmet, similar to Star-Lord. Like, it just evaporates around her head.
Yeah, and it lets her mohawk down.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so awesome.
Yep. I love awesome. That it's practical like that, you know?
Yeah, me
like,
too.
I don't need my hair to be in my face, so let me put it up with this helmet. But then when I'm done with the helmet, I would like my hair to come down and be pretty again, so let's just let it down.
Yeah. And then we got a couple, looks like Skrulls walking maniacally, or, you know, menacingly down the hallway.
Actually, I only see the one Skrull. The ears on the other people in the hallway look normal.
Interesting. Well, actually, I guess that's not that interesting, because that could just mean there are Skrulls that have already become human, or like already look like humans. But yeah,
that's... Either they're Skrulls that have already transformed, or they are Kree that think that they have captured the Skrull. But the way that he's walking doesn't really give that whole I'm a prisoner vibe.
No, it doesn't. It looks like he's leading them. And then we have a sort of explosion in a forest opening. Captain Marvel sitting there with green blood all over. It looks like this might be actually from the scene where she... crashes or whatnot. It looks like there's a Skrull on the scene when she crashes. And she also shows her reading reports of herself. So that's kind of trippy. So
it's like she looked herself up and was like, "Oh shit, what was I thinking with that hair?"
Right. Okay. So it's
like going to an old MySpace.
That's probably the best evidence that it's not her. It's that my theory is dumb, because there's no reason for them to look her up if she's not, doesn't look like that.
Right. If she hasn't been here the whole time.
Unless, okay, just to hold on to my theory.
If she has been here the whole time.
Just hold on to my theory more than I should. Unless there's some sort of infusion of where, like, Mar-Vell takes on her look because he has some sort of run in or infusion with the Skrulls, or is a Skrull himself.
Oh man, you're just
I
usually support your theories.
No, you don't. You never do.
I always, every time, support your theories, but I just don't know that I can continue that on this one.
I said it was dumb.
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you know that.
I think it's a fun little idea. Then we get a cool little sequence where a bunch of her versions of her are falling, including Captain Marvel from the sky.
Yeah. There's one thing that I spotted there. let's see, right after the what looks like a dogfighting sequence, she's holding like a chunk of like melted dog tag.
Yeah.
And it says Carol Dan on it.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a pop that's been released, at least the box has been at least announced, like the picture of it online, and it looks like her in the green suit, but the name on it is Vers or Vers or Verse.
It's V-E-R-S. That makes sense. So she has the other half of her dog tag probably off in space somewhere, and that's the only name she knows to go by is Vers. That's yep. cute. I like that.
Yeah.
Thanks for spoiling us, Pop. Sorry we joined in the spoiling.
Damn it, Funko!
That's fun. I really like... there's a really badass shot of Jude Law walking.
In the green suit.
In the green suit. The same green suit.
With his... That's because he's the leader.
Maybe.
But he's got those... he's got those piercing orange eyes.
Yeah.
And, you know, that, like, very haughty, I am in charge here kind of presence. Actually, if you look at what's around him, that looks like it might be the same kind of... the same scene where she got her powers.
Right. Yeah, it's very possible. Where
the crash happened.
It looks like he might be coming up to save her, basically.
Yeah, and it may be that he's coming up looking like, what the hell's going on here?
I really love the with her that turns into with a hero.
Yeah.
Really like that a lot.
Yeah, they're doing really good with her trailers.
For sure.
Oh, man. And then, like, right after that, she, like, tumbles down in her red and gold and blue suit, and then does just a big explosion, knocks a couple of guys that are menacing out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god!
It looks like the floor destroys below her, actually, where she lands.
Yeah.
And then we see a scroll, and then a shot later, we see a big dogfight happening in the air from Ronan the Accuser's perspective.
Yeah, and that looks like that's above Earth.
Yeah. So that's exciting. Ronan's back. The character we never got to know well enough.
Yep. And we get a great close-up of what the Skrulls look like. And I gotta say, that makeup is fan-freaking-tastic. That costume work is incredible.
Oh, yeah.
That looks so good. Looks like, awesome. I'm paused on it. Like, I'm marveling at how good it looks.
I'm really interested to see just how Ronan functions in the story, because he's apparently on the same side sort of as
He's Kree.
So he's kind of, I don't know if that means he'll be a good guy. This may be like the story of how, you know, they're trying to stop the war and bring peace, and he doesn't really want to bring peace. He just wants to annihilate the Kree. Which is what ends up, you know, with Xandar steps in or whatever. Just wants to annihilate everyone.
Well, yeah. Well, it was they had a war with Xandar. I'm assuming that war with Xandar happened after the Kree-Skrull War.
That's right. Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like in Guardians, it seemed like the Kree-Skrull War had been going on a hellaciously long time because. He said that the Xandarians had killed his father and his grandfather.
All right, the Xandar Kree War, you mean?
Yeah, the Xandarians had killed his father and grandfather.
Right, but that could have been recent. I mean, they could have died. Kree live a long time. They have a longer lifespan, right?
Yeah, I mean, that the lady said that so you could live longer and stronger.
Yeah, so it's very possible that, you know, that in the recent war, his father and grandfather were killed.
My dad and my grandfather were on the way over here for Christmas, and then you blew up their ship. You guys are assholes.
I think that's pretty... you're acting like it's silly, but I don't think that's silly. the idea that they could have... like, I mean, it could have been a 10-year war, and they could have easily died in, you know, in that 10 years. Or, you know, you can lose your entire family. Even now, with our lifespans, you can lose people in that span of time that could all have been in war together. or even just killed. I don't know that he said they died in battle. They could have destroyed the city they lived in or something, or the planet they lived on.
Or the planet they were on, like an Alderaan situation.
Yeah, that could... So it's very possible that his family was just killed by the Xandarians. Looks awesome. Then we get a bunch of men in suits running into a hangar.
I keep pausing on the men in suits, hoping to see Phil Coulson in there.
Yeah, I don't see him.
I just don't see Phil Coulson in there.
No Coulson, but it could be that he has hair, and I just can't see a Coulson under hair. You know,
I don't know what Phil Coulson with hair looks like.
I don't.
Phil, his first name is Agent Coulson. And then right after the agents in suits swarming the hangar, this looks like, you can see in the background where what is that thing? Quinjet. It looks like the Quinjet that they took out of the hangar
or
before.
Or a Quinjet, yeah.
It looks like a Quinjet that I'm assuming Carol and Fury were in. And I'm betting they're trying to get out, and Fury's going against the agency here. Yeah. And then they're being hunted. That's what I'm going to assume.
And I'm wondering, could that be S.H.I.E.L.D.? You think that's S.H.I.E.L.D.?
That's probably the beginnings, or not the beginnings. No, that's probably S.H.I.E.L.D. running up. That might be the beginnings of Hydra S.H.I.E.L.D. even.
Yeah, maybe. Skrull S.H.I.E.L.D.
Skrull Hydra S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, maybe that's been...
Skrydra?
Skrydra. Then we get a night. The wonderful shot I mentioned earlier of all the different times in her life when she had to stand up to someone or for herself, it looks like, and it just looks awesome. It brings a real like warmth to my heart to see that shot.
Oh man. And then like right after that, she's standing all like super powered and her hair is flowing up, and it that's the binary look. Like that is the binary look.
Cool.
That's so good.
Going through, she says, I'm not going to fight you where I'm going to end it, which I really hate the way she reads that line, but it still looks, the look of it looks badass. And then we get the Captain Marvel logo.
Oh, we get her flying around in space.
Right.
That's what I was talking about.
But to describe it, she's saying she's going to end the war, she goes out and destroys tons of guys. It looks awesome. Looks really awesome. This just looks like the kind of movie I've been waiting on. It just looks awesome. We got a Captain Marvel logo, and then after the logo, we get a cute scene of Fury petting a cat
by the name of Goose.
Yeah, which the best thing about that is that Fury gets distracted by a cat, because the Fury we know would not do that.
Yeah, Fury we know would like shove a cat out of the way and be like, excuse me, I have work to do.
That's super great. I love seeing a young, innocent Fury.
My favorite part of that whole little sequence there is when he's standing up and he whispers to the cat, I'll be back. Yeah, he will.
So good. So good.
Yeah, he will.
Then we get one last shot of her zooming through space, and that is the end of the trailer. So if you haven't seen it, go check it out. We just described all of it. I think we have a few things of feedback, right, Jeffrey?
Yeah, we got some feedback to talk about.
Let's do that.
Nothing about the trailer yet, mostly because I think everybody's still in shock.
Right.
But let's see, we got Jeffrey James coming to us on Facebook saying, sad to say, everything I know about corporate politics tells me that the Netflix shows are over. They won't announce officially until the last two are in the can, because that might reduce watchership, which Netflix still wants. It's a damn shame because Disney does not have the ability to do noir. If they tried to move the Netflix characters onto Disney Plus, we'll get Imitation Gotham and cameos by PewDiePie.
Oh, why you gotta hurt me like that, Jeffrey James?
Right? You cut me so deep.
Cut so deep with that. It's like that's like cuts to the quick of the argument so well. We'll get cameos by PewDiePie. All right.
That just aggravates the hell out of me to think about.
I'm really trying to reserve judgment till I see what they're gonna do. If they really are, because apparently at first they said that This whole Disney service was going to be like a PG-13 service somewhere. They said that, and this is not. These shows have not been PG-13, and I'm really hoping that they don't try to, you know. I don't even mind if it's a less gory, as long as it's good. I don't know, man. I just hope it stays good. I don't want it to be bad. I don't want them to bring these characters over to Disney and ruin them.
You know, on that point, Nathaniel Muzzi had said, I think Disney has said their streaming service will be PG, but I still think that's the most likely landing spot. I know they once described season one of Daredevil as PG-13, but then I saw a guy's brain fall out, which might not be very Disney safe. Maybe yeah. A Second Life on Hulu, which Disney has a majority stake on?
Maybe. I think they're just going to go all in with their Disney Plus. I really do.
Yeah. All right, so next up, we got Nathaniel Muzzi on Facebook. Guys, I hate to do this, but you've now missed the most likely to be successful MCU POTUS on two occasions. Wilson Fisk. Good man? Absolutely not. Presidential material? 100%. Wilson Fisk has the money and charisma to win a campaign, the knowledge of how government organizations work, the ability to bring people from disparate backgrounds that don't get along together to serve a singular goal. Everything he did in season one was for his city, and at a national level, his moral failings seem less egregious. Sure, he tried to have a bookkeeper killed, but as POTUS, he'll order drone strikes half a world away. He'll be two steps ahead of our country's enemies at all times. Wilson Fisk will ensure Congress works with him. He even has a charismatic first lady and a rags-to-riches story. Also, he has no powers. He'll just be one of us. Or he's just one of us. Is he a good man who I'd want to be the president? Nope. But you have to admit, he's more likely to run, win, and accomplish the platform he ran on than even Captain America.
This statement paid for by Nathaniel Muzzi's for Wilson Fisk for president.
There's a whole council of Nathaniel Muzzi's.
Yes, a whole council of Nathaniel Muzzi's, a little super pack of Nathaniel Muzzi's that are combining their efforts to support Wilson Fisk for president. He's right. He's not wrong.
Yeah, all of that makes perfect sense.
It's sad state of affairs that in our current political climate, the most like the character most like politicians we know is Wilson Fisk. It's a real bummer. Thanks, Nathaniel Muzzi, bringing the energy down again. I was just getting out of my Daredevil funk.
He also said, with Daredevil canceled, I think it's safe to assume that Netflix MCU is over. I hardly use Netflix besides the Marvel shows, so it's going to be pretty easy to cancel and add Disney streaming service.
That is a bummer for Netflix.
Yep. Losing money, Netflix.
The thing is, I imagine Disney had this plan 5 years ago, or 4 years ago. So, like, they must have started these shows, made them amazing on Netflix, and then with the full intent to cancel them and probably move them over the Disney service. So it's just like such a smart move. They put them on the biggest service, had the biggest service promote these shows for years, and then they're going to immediately be able to bring that audience over, you know?
Yeah.
It's real smart on Disney's part if that's what they're doing.
If that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
But there's been talk that the execs at Disney hate the execs at Marvel TV studios, and nobody gets along, so
yeah,
shit, man. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Let's see. Sarah Elizabeth King said to us, okay, I just started listening to your podcast last week, and I just wanted to say it's absolutely amazing.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah.
She says, for some reason, as a girl, some people find it strange that I'm so into the MCU because for some reason there's a stigma that superheroes are for boys. Whatever. Screw that stigma. I agree. Screw that stigma.
Yeah.
She said, but I just also don't have a lot of girlfriends that like the MCU nearly as much as I do, so I don't have people to talk to about it. Listening to your podcast genuinely makes me happy because it's nice hearing other people freak out and cry over the same things I do. That being said, I just listened to a couple of the Infinity War feedback casts, and your view of the idea of people piggybacking off of the idea of a universe made me think of the Harry Potter world, and I wanted your opinion. I know Harry Potter isn't the subject that you guys talk about, but I think this is cool. I just went and saw Fantastic Beasts Part 2 last night, and it's definitely going to continue. Before the movie, I had told my sister about your podcast and how DC was trying to do what Marvel did, but they're not taking the time. I have a theory that what they're doing with the Fantastic Beasts movies will start a whole new era of the wizarding world, and we're probably going to have movies all the way up to right when Harry's parents were killed by Voldemort and the first Harry Potter starts. They have so many old characters as younger versions of themselves that it made me think of this theory. Why else would they bring Nagini, young Dumbledore, and so on? I'm totally nerding out here, but how cool would it be to see a movie about young Tom Riddle and how he came to be Voldemort? Anyways, I can't wait to listen to more of your podcasts. You guys are amazing. Keep up the great work.
So I definitely think that this is the Fantastic Beasts franchise is definitely trying to pull off a Marvel. By creating more content. But I mean, if you really think about it, that's nothing too new. They made big Fellowship of the Ring movies, so then they wanted to make Hobbit movies. You could say it's a lot of different things, but they're creating brand new content with this, trying to create this universe. I don't know if they'll go as far as to create a bunch of different movies in this time period. If they're going to do more Wizarding World movies, I have a feeling they would try to steer clear of this era because they've got it covered, and they would jump to like either the future, like past Harry Potter, or they'll go like to a different era closer to now or whatever. I think they'll do just some different things.
It's difficult to do too much in the past because like everything in the books and everything in the movies that we've seen so far, like there's all stuff that's already been established in a time frame, and if you don't strictly adhere to that in your movie, then it doesn't really work. And
also, not just strictly adhering, the thing I would worry about, it like she mentions a Tom Riddle, I think that would be fun to see all of that, but it reminds me a little too much of the Star Wars prequels. It's like you see a young Tom Riddle, you've already seen a little bit of a young Tom Riddle in the Harry Potter movies, and then you like try to go back and tell his story. I fear it would be like
end up like Solo.
Yeah, well, no, I was thinking Anakin.
Yeah.
It would be like trying to show literally the Darth Vader of that universe when he was a kid and tell a whole story about it. It just seems fraught with problems. And a lot of that is just, you just know how it's going to end. Like, sure, you can insert a few characters, but you already know Tom Riddle, you already know Severus, you already know, because I think they were all around the same time, right? Or am I totally wrong on that? I don't know. I'm not good at the history of Harry Potter. This is not my universe. We're playing outside our sandbox, man.
It's okay. We'll work through it.
I mean, you already know Severus, you already know a lot of the teachers, you already know where a lot of these people are going, and it's hard to tell a story when you already know where everyone's going.
And like anybody that comes in that's new, it's like, oh, they're dead, because nobody else is going to be killed off because they have to be there for Harry Potter.
Right. Not necessarily they're going to be dead, but you definitely like, you just know so many of the characters. I mean, if his parents are at the school, I don't know if his parents and Severus line up with Tom Riddle or not. I don't know if he was there before them. I don't know if he's like more like, I don't know if Tom Riddle was more like Dumbledore's age, or was did Dumbledore teach Tom Riddle? I don't know. I'm real bad at this.
Okay, so Tom Riddle was born December 31st, 1926.
Okay, so yeah, he's more like Dumbledore's age.
He's a little bit younger than Dumbledore.
Okay.
Because they're in Fantastic Beasts, they're in between World War I and World War II. So we're right around the time frame that Tom Riddle would have been born.
Interesting. That makes me think that these Fantastic Beasts movies are going to lead into just a simple like origin of Tom Riddle. Like, we're going to find out about his parents and stuff like that.
Could be.
Probably Grindelwald. Tom, I am your father. But you know, in Jack Sparrow's voice.
Oh, right. Tom, I'm your father.
Tom. All right.
I can't. And he's just like, he's kind of swaying a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. No. but good thought, Sarah. I definitely think they're going to do more with it. I mean, why wouldn't they? I don't know how it did. How it doing? I'm going to look. But I can't imagine it did poorly. Like, so many people love... I didn't like Fantastic Beasts 1. What did you think of Fantastic Beasts 1, Jeff?
Fantastic Beasts 1 was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I'm not, like, the biggest fan of the Harry Potter franchise in general.
Right.
I think that it was better, though, than the second one.
Okay.
Because, you know, The Crimes of Grindelwald, it was kind of...
Oh, did you see it already?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, well, you know, the lady is a big
Potter fan.
Potterhead.
I like the Harry Potter movies pretty well. I like the books more than I like the movies, which is so trite to say. But I just thought Fantastic Beasts, the first one, had huge sections that were really boring. When he goes into his bag or whatever, and he's like showing off the different creatures, I felt like that whole section lasted like 30 minutes and nothing happened. And I know you're supposed to just sort of be enraptured by the fact that all these cool creatures are happening, but like, I'm just not that interested in the cool creatures. I want the cool creatures to do something, you know? I don't know. It's been a while, so I may not even be remembering it that well, but, this number two looks way better.
Yeah, I mean, stuff happens in it. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like it's the same.
Like Potter?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it has the same kind of magic.
Interesting.
And, you know, it could be that the writer is different, because they're having J.K. Rowling actually write the script.
The screenplays, yeah. Which is interesting that she's going from writing these books. It's like, she doesn't want to sit down and like write. I'm not going to sit down and write like hundreds of pages. I just want to write this script. It's really funny to me.
Yeah. And I mean, she's nothing bad about her, but she's a better novel writer than she is a screenplay writer.
Right. It's a completely different skill set.
Right.
And so, yeah. Like, I think that's fair to say. And I think she's only done it twice now. We'll see how she does. And I think they should have just paired her with a really good screenwriter.
Yeah.
Like, get a great screenwriter, pair them with J.K. Rowling, and have them work together. Because she needs someone who helps her with the structure of how to time a movie out and everything like that. You know, like, because I think that was the biggest problem with the first one for me, was just the pacing was off.
Yeah,
I don't see why everyone was so mad about Johnny Depp showing up. I like Johnny Depp. I know he's been in some weird movies lately, but I like him.
I think there was it's more of the Kevin Spacey type thing. You know, he was accused or found guilty of, I'm not sure. He was definitely accused of some unsavory activity.
Oh, was he? See, I don't even know about that. See, I don't pay attention to people's lives. It's just, I just don't. I like the movies I like, but I don't know anything about people's lives.
Yeah. Yeah. He was, let's see. What was it? I don't even remember. It's not worth getting into, to be honest. It's just,
right.
Apparently he was wrapped up in some sort of scandal.
Okay. I just searched controversies, and it says he creates a toxic work environment. I don't know what that means. I don't have the details, but I just wanted to get some sort of headline or something at least that said what his controversies were, because I don't want to accuse him of being Me Too'd if he wasn't, you know, of being Kevin Spacey, because Kevin Spacey did some pretty bad things. I don't want to just like throw that out there and not.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. So I meant Kevin Spacey in a way that it was like, just that there was controversy.
There was controversy. Kevin
Not
Spacey, like,
that he,
like, he statutorily raped a number of people. And so it's like,
right.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he raped anybody.
Yeah,
just that there was controversy.
Yeah, there was a controversy. Okay.
And that people expected him to not be a part of it because of that.
Okay. Gotcha. See, I when he showed up, I was like, ooh, exciting.
Yeah,
I love Johnny Depp.
And he's got a weird colored eye.
Yeah. It's going to be cool. Him with a weird look. That's new.
That's unique.
Right. Like, I think the thing about Johnny Depp and his weird characters, what makes he's so likable on screen that you can throw him under a bunch of, you can make him a pirate. I think the Jack Sparrow character is awesome. maybe a little overdone now that they've made like six of those movies. But I've watched, I think, all of them, and I've enjoyed all of them because Johnny Depp is likable, and he makes good decisions with that character. But I think there's just a lot of pushback because Johnny Depp is he was considered one of the best actors around, and then he did nothing but like really weird character pieces for a really long time. And so when you see him show up in Fantastic Beasts, I think the pushback was like, oh, really, Johnny Depp in another weird outfit? I'm just not interested. And it's like, I am. I think he's a great actor. I don't know. I didn't hear anything about the controversies. But anyway, last piece of feedback.
We've got Brandon on Twitter said at MCUcast, thank you for slightly getting political. I know that's not why we listen, but at this point I care about what people espouse politically if I'm going to support them. I'd love to know what each American MCU character would say about our current situation.
I don't know. Well, you are welcome. We got very slightly political a couple weeks ago, and we don't normally get political. And honestly, one of the reasons I don't get political is because there's no nuance these days, and a lot of my opinions are fairly nuanced. And I feel like if I express it's such an environment these days where if you express an opinion that someone doesn't agree with, they kind of think you are just on the other side and all the other opinions you don't agree with align with them. And it's just like, I think that there are issues that like are more complicated than they are simple. And sometimes it's really hard to talk about that stuff without just like someone jumping down your throat. And it's really hard to do that. And so we're just trying to do a Marvel podcast. It's tough. Tough world.
I don't get it. You're saying that you can be on both sides of the aisle?
Yeah, you can like have some issues that you don't completely agree with all 100% one side. Like it really does feel that way. Like if you espouse one issue that you're like, I kind of feel this way, I feel sort of liberal. I'm kind of aligning with that side this way, but I don't agree with them on this issue and that issue and this. You can't like talk issue by issue. You just have to be on one side or the other. And then the bad thing is like especially with things like racism. So you think people should be taxed less. So people think you're racist. Like it's really a crazy world right now. Like that's like an actual thing we have going on right now. And while I don't want to talk politics, I'll talk about that all day. Like how the charged environment we live in, where you can't listen to someone's argument for anything because you immediately think they want the worst of those people. Like, and it goes for both sides. Like if someone says they want health care, then people start thinking they're like a radical leftist terrorist. And then if someone wants less taxes, they literally are called a racist sometimes. And it's just like, they're all complicated issues that we all need to talk about. Like, it just bothers me so much. It's really hard to talk about all that stuff today.
Yeah. Sorry to bring it up.
No. It's some feedback. Well, I appreciated the feedback, for sure.
Here's the feedback that I appreciate. Nathaniel Muzzy said to us on Facebook, finally got home to my box of swag.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, you guys killed it. Love Yay. The Howard shirt, especially.
Yay. Yes, we did. We sent out our first round of swag to our Patreon patrons. If you are a patron and you didn't get your swag, or if you were a patron for a little while at that level and you didn't get your swag you're owed, write us, because some people haven't answered me on my email. And I also got a couple of them back because they went to the wrong address, apparently. So I just got those back today. So we got a few people that are still owed their swag. We got a couple t-shirts and a couple glasses and some cool designs that we're real proud of. So that actually brings up, if you want some of these t-shirts, we have a few extras because we had to print a certain amount to get them printed. They're very, very limited run. We mostly just made them for our Patreons, but we do have a few extras. So we're selling one t-shirt for $25 or both designs for $35. One's a cool Infinity Gauntlet Howard the Duck design, and one is an MCU cast logo design with some cool drawings of us on it. And so if you're interested in that, please hit us up on any of the places and let us know you're interested, and we can send you a PayPal link or whatever, and we'll mail you a shirt for $25 for one, $35 for both, because we're really just trying to make back the money that we kind of wasted on extra shirts because we had to. So we're not trying to really make money off it. We're just trying to make our money back. So if you want a shirt, $25 for one, $35 for both. Should be neat. We are the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. Hit us up at mcucast.com, at mcucast on Twitter, facebook.com/mcucast, mcucast@gmail.com, or call us at 573-CAST-MCU. Yeah. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. If you want to support the show and be a part of the next swag delivery, go to patreon.com/mcucast and you can support the show there. You guys are awesome. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.